Not on you.
Okay, welcome everyone. This is our sixth session, Chavrusa session in Das Tefillah. And let's bring up the text. Dun, dun, dun. Okay. Here we go. So last week, we were studying a very profound idea from Rav Moshe Chaim Luzzatto, the Ramchal, in his Sefer Derech Hashem. And the Ramchal has a knack, certainly in Sefer Derech Hashem, of saying very, very deep and complicated and esoteric things in very simple language. And he did that last week in discussing the place of tefillah, the critical place of tefillah in our world. What the Ramchal said basically was as follows: that HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up the world in such a way that he wants us to be involved with the nitty-gritty things of taking care of our life. He didn't have to do that. He didn't have to make us so needy. And if he did create certain needs, he didn't have to set as a goal that we should take care of them ourselves. The Ramchal is probably not talking about running after things that are not permitted, running after things that we shouldn't, but just everyday activities. How much of our everyday and how many years of our life are spent trying to make a living, trying to raise a family, not just the chinuch parts of raising a family. How many hours of our life are spent eating, going to the bathroom. There are all of these things. And to be able to take care of those things ourselves is a sign of human respect that's very degrading. It's very difficult for a person when they get to the point that they can no longer take care of themselves. But all of this, obviously, makes us susceptible to just getting so caught up in the world that we forget about what our purpose is. We forget about what it is that we're supposed to be here for and what it is that we're supposed to do. So the Ramchal says, on the one hand, this is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it. He wants us to be part of the world. He wants us to engage in the world. He made us so that we should engage in the world, and we have to engage in the world. And it's an honor to be able to take care of ourselves and engage in the world. But the top line on this page, Tzarich Shelo Tarbe Yoter Mima Sheraoi. But how much should we really get involved, though? How do we find that balance to, on the one hand, do what we're supposed to, fulfill our responsibilities, but not get so caught up in the world? He used the word several times, lehistabeach, to become lehistabeach, to become caught, to become enmeshed, right? How do we find that balance? And what he said was, and this was the key line, v'hu ma sheyakdim ha'adam v'yitkarev v'yamod lifnei yitbarach, u'mimenu yishal kol tzurchav. That before we head out into the world, before we head out into our days, it sounds here like there perhaps is a special importance to shachris, which really is that which we do before we head out into the world, whatever heading out into the world means in coronavirus. We head downstairs, we head to our front porch, whatever it is that we're doing. So before we do that, before we try to take care of ourselves, we're supposed to first get close and stand before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we're supposed to ask from him everything we need. Ve'alav yashlich yahavo. And to put our burden on him, which is so interesting. I didn't really point this out last week, but the Ramchal started by saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu honored us by putting a burden on us, right? Ki hineh Adon Baruch Hu natan la'adam de'ah lihiyot manhig atzmo ba'olamo. God has given us the intelligence, the wisdom, the ability to take care of ourselves. B'seichel u'betunah ve'he'emis ha'masa alav liyot mefakeach al tzarchav kulam. And he put the weight upon us. He put it on our shoulders to take care of our own needs. But then the Ramchal says that before we go out and we do that, we have to start, u'mimenu yishal kol tzarchav. We have to ask God for everything. Va'alav yashlich yahavo. We have to at least share. We have to at least invite God in. We have to share the burden with him. We are ultimately responsible for taking care of ourselves. But before we go out and before we begin to act on that, we meet with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and we share with him. We share the burden with him. He's with us. It's not just us alone. And this should form a general and an overall and an essential background, I think is the best word, to all of the hishtadlus that we do, to everything that we do. And I've been speaking about this morning as well. The two shiurim are accidentally overlapping, the morning little things and the das tefillah. That it is difficult to believe that everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but that's part of what we have to do. We're functioning within his framework. We're functioning with his help. And then he says, Ad shekasher yimshach achar kach b'shar darchei yishtadlus shehem darchei yishtadlus anoshi. And then, once we get involved in the world, lo yikre sheyistabech v'yishtaka begufaniyut v'chumriyut. It's almost as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps us. We go to him and we strap a harness around ourselves. And then we get lowered back into this world. But we get lowered in wearing a harness. The Kadosh Baruch Hu is the harness. We recognize that. And it's that harness that allows us not to get so far down that we can't get up afterwards, that we can't remove ourselves from what the world is. Kevan shekvar hikdim betala hakol bo yisbarach. Since I already said everything is about you. You asked me to go out there, I'll go out there. But I'm going out there on a mission from you. I'm going out there because you told me to. I'm going out there with the understanding that I need to do what I need to do, but I don't have to overdo it because it's coming from you. V'lo tihiye yiridato yirida rabah. Therefore, we won't fall too far. Ela tismach al yedei hatikun shekadamla. We will rely upon, we'll fall back on the tikkun, the correction, the truth, that preceded our going back into the world. So it's almost as if our real existence is the time that we spend in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in prayer. And then every once in a while, we take leave of him and we go back into the world. When I remember, I try to end my Shmona Esrei by thinking, before I take my three steps back, this has been very nice. It has been nice to talk. You've asked me to go back into the world. I'll go, but I'll be back later. It's a very powerful thing to kind of see our days as surrounded around the three times that we're speaking to him. And between that, we have to run some errands. Between that, we have to go out and we have to get some stuff done. It's a way of looking at our home situation also, right? Which is our real life? Is our real life when we are at work and every once in a while we come home to crash? Or is our real life at home? And that's who we want to really be with. But we have to go out and we have to work. That's the way of the world. So we're going to say goodbye for now, and I'll be back in 8 hours, 9 hours, 10 hours. It's not a question of where I spend most of my hours. It's a question of which one is the Iker and which one is the Tafel. Which one is my home, so to speak? And which one is the place that I have to go to because I know I have to get some things done. I know I have to go out and do 10 hours of errands right now, but I'm coming right home. So tefillah in that sense sets up, frames the rest of my life. It frames my time. Okay, that's what we saw last time. Matzav ha'adam v'habriya behanhagasa olam b'darchei ha'teva. The condition of man and the entire creation, when the creation is working in a way of teva, what is teva? Teva is the way that the world functions that is best for hiding God. Best for hiding God. The natural order. I go out. I don't necessarily see him. Things go in a natural way. Again, it's very important to understand that the Ramchal here is not talking about sin. I'm not engaging in anything wrong when I'm leaving his presence in this presentation. I'm just going and doing exactly what he told me and set me up to do, which is to get my hands dirty and to get involved in the world. So this, Yotzeret Richuk Beino Leborei Yisbarach. It's ironic because on the one hand, he's the one that told me to do it. But it creates a distance. it's harder to feel God. It's much easier to be aware of God, to be religious, to be whatever it is when I'm in the middle of a prayer than when it is, then I go to work, because work is stressful and work has, I got to focus on my work. Hein mitzad ha'ester panim, shebo ha'boreyit barach, hukel mistater achore mischei ha'teva. On the one hand, mitzad ha'ester panim, the hiding of the face, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he calls himself a kel mistater, he's a hiding God. He does his best. We know that the reason why he does that is because he'd like us to have free choice. He'd like to play hide and go seek with us, so to speak. He's not going to make it too obvious that he's there. So that's one reason why if I spend enough time out in the real world, I'm going to lose sight of God. V'hein mitzad chayei ha'adam, ha-marchikim oto min ha'or ha'elyon, kufi shehitba'er b'divrei ha-ramchal. It's not just that the world out there is it's harder to see God, but I also get busy. I get busy with things and I lose track. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do this? Why did he do this? The Ramchal tries to explain that. It's not a simple question to answer. If the goal, if we're put down here to have a relationship with him, so why didn't he just drop us in a shul? Why did he make it so hard? Why does he ask us to do so many things that are seemingly devoid of God, certainly direct contact with God, doesn't mean they're bad things. Why is there so much chol if the purpose is to connect with God? V'kan ba'a ha'tfila u'mishaneh et matzav ha'adam u'mikarevet oto l'boro al yedei ha'hishtanut shehi poelet bo. And this, v'kan ba'a tfila, tfila is the great answer to this paradox. How can I, on the one hand, be part of the world, and God wants me to be part of the world, and he wants me to have a job, despite what some people may say? He wants me to make a living. He wants me to be involved in the real world. How am I supposed to bridge that? The answer comes from tefillah u'mishaneh et matzav ha'adam. Tefillah changes me. It doesn't change God. And the reality is, it doesn't make the living space that I'm in more godlike. It just makes me more ready to enter into that space. Right? It makes me prepared. I get myself prepared to go out and to go into the world. Based on that which the preparation that I've had. Right? There's a very powerful example of this in the tefillah of Aleinu. In the tefillah of Aleinu. We know that Aleinu consists of two very different paragraphs. What's the subject of the first paragraph of Aleinu? How lucky we are to be able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How lucky we are to be able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that everything else out there is nothing. Right? We're really
supposed to say, but it was edited out at one point by the church, Shehem Mishtachavim Lehev Alvarik, they pray to nothing. You can unmute yourself, Tammy. That mitpalelim el el lo yashia, and they pray to God. You can't hear me.
Okay, well, wait a second. And they pray to a God who can't help them. What's the purpose of saying this at the end of davening? Why do I say? Why at the end of Aleinu do I say, "Wow, we're so lucky we get to serve God. We're so much luckier than everybody else out there." So you might think it's because we're on such a high at the end of davening that we take advantage of it, but it's not. Aleinu is always said, not at the end of a tefillah, but before we leave shul. The reality is that when we daven mincha, ma'ariv, and shul, probably don't have to say Aleinu between mincha and ma'ariv. Because Aleinu is actually a prayer that's meant to be said when I'm taking leave of shul. Now, of course, mincha and ma'ariv were not meant to be prayed together. That's the only way we can get a minyan, and this is before COVID. The only way to get a minyan was to pray the two of them together. But mincha and ma'ariv are not supposed to be prayed together. The more you distance these tefillos from each other, the more you bookend your day, the more they serve as this reminder to you about reality. if you daven quote unquote mincha ma'ariv, you've been yotze, you fulfilled your obligation, but you basically reduced the number of check-ins, the number of reorientations to two instead of three. So Aleinu is actually a prayer. So since Mincha is often prayed without Ma'ariv, it's meant to be prayed without Ma'ariv, so they put Aleinu in there. But Aleinu is really not supposed to be there. Aleinu is really supposed to be when you leave Shul, right? With some years, people would shoot me, but after Musaf on Yom Kippur, I would clap and say Aleinu, because you're really supposed to say Aleinu then before you take a break. The Siddurim, the Machzorim, have Aleinu after Mincha. And that's because they used to go all the way through Mincha, then take a break before Ne'ilah. But really, the way we do it, you should say Aleinu after Musaf, and then you could skip Aleinu if you'd like after Mincha, because you're not going anywhere. Aleinu is the prayer before you go out. It's the prayer to prepare you for the world. But Aleinu is clearly written at a time when other religions seem to be more powerful and successful than Judaism. The purpose of the first paragraph of Aleinu is to say, I'm now going to step out of my tiny little shtiebel and I'm going to go out and I'm going to see this massive church across the street. As long as I'm in shul, I can pretend that Judaism is the dominant religion and that this is the only way to do it and that, of course, this makes sense. As soon as I walk 2 feet out of shul, so I run into a culture that's theoretically much more successful right now than Judaism, and I'm going to be over. I'm not ready for that. The Tefillah of Aleinu is again a kind of prayer that says, "Remind myself that I'm lucky to be a Yid," and even though they may have very big places of worship, what they're worshiping can't help them, and they don't have the right religion. What's the second paragraph of Aleinu? The second paragraph Aleinu is Al Kain Nekava Lecha, is that our ultimate hope, what we're ultimately praying for, is not simply that we're wonderful and ignore everybody else out there, but that everyone out there is destined to eventually accept Hashem. Not to become Jewish, separate thing. But that's the second paragraph, that everyone will eventually, don't give up on the world. Because eventually we believe that everyone will bow their knee to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everyone will believe in God, they'll be monotheists, so there's a hope. So Aleinu is an example of a tefillah that was entered, you know, into, originally it was just said on Rosh Hashanah. It wasn't lifted from every day into Rosh Hashanah Musaf. It was just in Rosh Hashanah Musaf. But it became such a good thing to prepare us to walk out the front door of Shul. So the Ramchal is explaining, And Rav Rakovsky is elaborating on it, that we need to really build ourselves up. We need to change ourselves. We need to ready ourselves to go into the world. Because simple involvement in the world and just day-to-day activities can wear away at our special nature. Now he goes one step further. Ha'omek ha'mitgale kan moreh. The depth that this entire process shows, shehatfisa beinyan hatfila, that the understanding of tfila, shehi ba'ala azor la'adam, latzeit mishlitat ma'arechet ha'teva, b'chom uvneha ve'ofaneha, that the thought, he's taking it one step further, he's about to actually reject everything that he and I have said. If you really think about this, he writes, then this approach to tfila, that tefillah is there to protect us from getting too caught up in the material world, he shitchit. That's only a surface. That's a surface way of understanding it. In other words, the surface way of understanding it is that really what it's about is going out into the world. But it's not safe to go out into the world unless you've prayed. So really, the important part of my day is the going out into the world, is going down into the world and doing everything. And I need this harness before I go. He says, no, lehefech hu ha'inyan. It's actually the opposite. Ha'adam husam b'marechet zu kedei sheyitpalel. A person is forced to put on this harness so that he can go down in the world. But the purpose of the harness is to have the harness on, not so that he can go drop back into the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a situation where we need to spend intense times with him. We need to have real intimate moments with him because we're not always going to stand before him. He seems to have preferred a situation where our relationship has ebbs and flows, where our relationship goes from being very close to distant to once again feeling a need to be close, rather than sort of a flat relationship where we constantly are doing our best in order to be able to stand in front of him. It's the fact that I know I'm about to go out into a seemingly godless world that makes me treasure the moments that I have with him. It's the fact that I've been in that godless world and I now come back and I can relax and I can enjoy and I can feel secure with him. It's the contrast between the world out there and the moments that I spend in meditation. It's that contrast that gets me the highs of what tefillah is about. Now, that doesn't seem to be what the Ramchal is saying himself, but that's what Rabbi Rakovsky is saying. Don't imagine simply that we have to pray in order to go out into the world. The reason why we go out into the world is so that prayer can be special. And the reality is, again, looking at these two questions of when is my real life? Is my real life when I'm praying? Or is my real life when I'm out working? And the same thing, and it's a little easier to understand, is true of Shabbos. And we pointed out several times that there's a comparison between the breaks that we get in the day through tefillah and the break that we get in the day, in the week, through Shabbos. It's a question we can all ask ourselves. When am I the real me? When am I the real me, and when am I most comfortable? In other words, I'm obviously most comfortable when I'm taking a nap, but I don't mean comfortable in that way. I'm saying, when am I the most comfortable in my own skin? When do I feel like myself? Is it on Shabbos, or is it during the week? And I think we'd all agree that if every day of the week was Shabbos, then Shabbos would cease to be Shabbos. Shabbos wouldn't have the power. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us in this mold of what the Hasidim call, what the Baal Shem Tov calls, is Ratzo Vishov. When Yechezkel has his vision of seeing the angels, he describes the angels in the first chapter of Yechezkel, who are near the crown of the chariot of God. He describes the angels as sort of coming and going. Ratzo Vashov. It's an image you also have by the angels by Yaakov's ladder. Right? Coming and going. It looks, and the Ramchal points out that this seems to be very true if you simply look at the Jewish calendar, that we're supposed to have moments of highs that are followed by moments of distancing. There's supposed to be a ratzo, a running away, and a shov, a returning. That's actually part of what our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is supposed to be. And the ratzo, according to some svarim, is a ratzo to go to work, a ratzo to go to eat, a ratzo to go to the bathroom. And according to some svarim, as you get more into certain types of chassidus, ishbitzer, as you look at the writings of Reb Tzadok HaKohen, even ratzo to sin. Even a ratzo to sin. You're not supposed to sin, but it's almost built in that we'll sin so we can kiss and make up afterwards. Tshuva in this kind of a thought is not accidental. Tshuva is built in. One source in Chazal says that tshuva was created before the world was created. Why would tshuva be created if we didn't do anything wrong yet? So you could argue that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew we would do stuff wrong and we'd be helpless if tshuva wasn't built in. But in the mind of a Rav Kook and in certain types of Chassidus, tshuva is something which is, you don't want to have to get far away, but it allows you to return. and to reestablish the relationship. If you look, says the Ramchal, at the Jewish calendar, it just doesn't look like we're supposed to be at the same place all the time. It doesn't look like that's the way Judaism is set up, that we should be in a constant state. It involves times of drifting away, times of coming close, and of course we shouldn't drift away, but if we didn't drift away, we couldn't really have the experience of coming back close. So in that sense, the daily coming and going of tefillah is really very much the way God created us. He seems to want this separation and then this reunion. These times when we're less involved with each other and these times where we come back. And that's what he's saying here. Kedei sheyitpalel. The whole, kedei sheyitpalel. Laman yashuv v'yifne el boro v'yimtza oto mikol nekudat richuk asher notzra ekev hanhagazu. And that we should return to God, we should turn back to our Creator, and we should find Him from all of this richuk. Asher notzra ekev hanhagazu, from all of this richuk that we've created. Now, look what he's saying. He's not saying that we should find God in the natural world itself. That's true also. But that's not what he's saying. He's saying that the immersion in the physical world creates a landslide of emotion, a landslide of return that causes us to come back to Him. It's because we've been so far away for so many hours that it's meaningful when we reunite. As Reb Tzadok HaKohen says, Ki kol tza'ar shashem yitbarach sholeach chash v'shalom la'adam ba'olam hazeh, whatever tza'ar God sends us in this world, whatever happens that makes it appear that He's distant, hu alzeh la'oro l'tfila, is there to get us to strive, to push, to be able to get back close again. We can't simply walk into His office, so to speak. We have to, it takes an effort. It takes an effort. It's from a place of distance that it's meaningful that we take these steps towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'kach, b'chol gzerah, whatever the thing is that goes wrong. And again, going wrong here is synonymous with not seeing the face of Hashem, Hashem seemingly being absent, Hashem not listening, Hashem not being at my side. Whenever we have a gzeirah, emunat Yisrael yodat she'HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitaveh letfilatan shel tzadikim. We have this concept that the reason why sometimes someone will have something bad happen to them, even though they're a very good person, is because God wants that emotional rush of coming to them, of coming back in tefillah. And that's why gzeros come. B'darshu chazal, mipnei ma nis'akru ha'imahos. Why were the imahos childless? B'mnei sh'akadosh baruch hu misavu l'tfilosan shel tzadikim. And that's a very difficult phrase. I've always found that to be a difficult phrase. Right? That's why he made them childless. He made them infertile. He made them face infertility. How painful was that? Where's the justice in that? But it speaks to how important tefillah is. Obviously,
to be able to have a meaningful
tefillah, to be able to have a time where I feel like I cross a bridge, I cross a chasm, and I'm able to touch base with God, that seems to be more important than a certain amount of pain that someone may have to go through. Tefillah, that kind of a tefillah is the reason why we seem to be down here. Biaru lanu bekan ki lo ba ha'akarot le'imahot ela mipnei ha'akarut le'imahot ela mipnei ha'tfila. That the reason why they went through this was to daven u'kishispalelu bazeh nishtana behem ha'teva. And when they prayed, then nature changed. U'mikan nevi'at ha'koach shel Yisrael amech kulam tzadikim lamod u'lispalel ashinu marechet ha'teva. And this is what gives Klal Yisrael the ability to turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to say, change the reality. Why do we get to say, change the reality? Because everything was created just to get us to return to Him. How many tefillos do we need to give? Do we always get what we ask for? Doesn't seem to be. The stories, at least in terms of giving birth to a child, the stories in the Chumash seem to work out better than a lot of cases seem to our eyes, to work out here. But that's the central place of tefillah. Again, just to review this little section, because next week he's really going to move on to a different topic. How does prayer work? How does prayer work? Prayer works by changing ourselves. Prayer works by changing ourselves. It doesn't work because it changes HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It works because it changes ourselves. We are changed before when we daven. And that serves two purposes. Number one, it serves as a protective device. That if we have a prayerful life, that's something we could be striving for. A prayerful life where I feel like I'm in touch with God on a regular basis. I feel like I'm talking to him. I feel like I can sense his presence more and more when I'm away from tefillah. A prayerful life, it protects me. But more than that, it is the goal in and of itself. The goal of tefillah, as we'll speak about in different times in this Sefer, is not to get something, is not to protect us from something, but is the prayer itself. That those moments in genuine prayer, when we actually connect to the divine, those moments are truly what it's all about. And then once we have those moments, teva can change or not change. It's not about receiving what we want. It's about establishing that connection. Okay, any questions? Okay, all. Hold on. Stop share. Okay, we will please God continue next Tuesday. Okay? Have a good night, everybody.
Have a good night.
Good night, everybody.